We continue our sermon series in the book of Hebrews on Jesus as our faithful high priest. Tonight our text is taken from Hebrews in chapter 10. Brothers, we have confidence to enter the most holy place through the blood of Jesus. It is a new and living way he opened for us through the curtain that is his flesh. We also have a great priest over the house of God. So let us approach with a sincere heart in the full confidence of faith, because our hearts have been sprinkled to take away a bad conscience and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold on firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. Let us also consider carefully how to spur each other on to love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together as some have the habit of doing. Rather, let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is God's word. It's easy to misunderstand the Israelites. Yes, God told them to watch as he would decimate the land and the people of Egypt through the 10 plagues that he sent on them. He did, and the Israelites watched as he did. God told them to watch as he would bring them out of the harsh treatment and the slavery of the Egyptians and the heavy hand of the Egyptians. He did. And the Israelites watched as the Egyptians begged them to leave their country. God told them to watch as he would deliver them from the Egyptian army that had them pinned along the banks of the Red Sea. He did, and they watched as God brought them right smack dab through the middle of the Red Sea on dry land and then drowned the entire Egyptian army in the deep waters of the Red Sea. God told them to watch as he provided water for them out of the rock in the middle of the desert, and he did. He told them to watch as he provided food for them from heaven that they could eat, and he did. He told them to watch as he would come down on the top of the mountain with thunder and lightning and fire and smoke and the trumpet calls of angels. He did. And they watched. And they watched, and they kept on watching. For 40 days, they kept on watching the top of that mountain where God's presence was, waiting for God to speak to them again through his servant Moses. And it's maybe at this point where we find ourselves completely surprised and maybe a bit confused. Because after listening to God tell them ahead of time of all these things that were going to happen, and then after watching all of these things as they happened, we see what looks like complete and unilateral abandonment of the people from God as they ask Aaron to make for them a statue of a common farm animal, a young calf, that they could worship. And maybe we just assume that they were rejecting the Lord when they worshipped this statue, this haphazard made golden statue of a calf. But that's not exactly correct. Remember what Aaron said at that time. We may think that in our actions they were saying, I am abandoning the Lord, but in their words, in Aaron's words, He said, tomorrow, after making this golden calf, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. The people thought they were worshiping the Lord, the God of the Israelites. They were right in whom they were worshiping, but they were completely wrong about how to worship him. And to be very clear, there is no excuse for giving into these orgies and this image worship just because they thought they were worshiping the Lord. Now, the really interesting part of this is that the Israelites were worshiping in the way they knew, the way they knew from the Egyptians, the sexual worship and the image worship of the Egyptians, worshiping what they could see. But contrast this worship with the worship the Lord was about to teach them. God would teach them that they would worship what they cannot see. God would teach them that priests would minister for them, priests that they were hands off on, priests who coordinated temple worship and were separate from them. When Jacob Israelite walked up to the temple to worship, all he really saw was that bronze altar where the sacrifices were offered, and the doors to the temple. A priest offered their sacrifices for them. A priest went inside to the temple and offered up special prayers on behalf of the people. A priest, very specifically the high priest, once a year went into the deepest part of the temple, the most holy part of the temple. And once a year, he would take blood and sprinkle it onto the holiest part of the temple, the Ark of the Covenant. And by doing this, he was making a sort of confession on behalf of the people that blood was necessary to take away their sin, the blood of the coming promised Savior from sin. But Jacob Israelite never saw this. No Israelite never saw this, and in fact, most Levites never saw this. Only a priest, a descendant of Aaron, could be allowed inside the temple itself to see the lampstands of the presence of the Lord, to see the fresh-baked bread that was laid out on the golden table every day, to see the altar of incense that stood in front of the thick 2-foot curtain that divided the holy place from the most holy place. And certainly, no Israelite ever saw the Ark of the Covenant. That is, unless the Israelites were playing hooky and taking it out of the temple as a good luck charm of sorts when they were fighting their battles. All of this was meant to clearly communicate to the people a fancy theological and worship term: transcendence. Transcendence literally means something or someone coming to us from a far distance. So in other words, God is up there and we are down here. Up in heaven is perfection and holiness, and down here on earth are people who sin and imperfection. There is a great distance between us in space, and there is a great distance between us in our relationship, because on our own we are only imperfect and incapable of coming to God. The whole institution of the priests was meant to clearly communicate this to the people. Your sins keep you from approaching God. You need priests to approach God for you, to worship God in your place in the temple. This separation of the priests from the people emphasizes the separation, the distance, and the transcendence between a holy God and people who sin. So can you imagine Aaron standing there, fresh with guilt from leading millions of people to worship a golden calf and giving in to them to make that golden calf? And now being told that he is going to be the most important priest and that he will be assisted by his sons. It's the day of the consecration of the priests. And to prepare themselves for this, Aaron and his sons have to wash their bodies with crystal clear water, not an easy thing to do in that time without modern plumbing. And they needed to put on themselves bright white linen garments, and Aaron himself would put on the garments of the high priest, that ephod that hanged over his shoulders that had the 12 different gems of the 12 different stones of Israel, and the two stones on each top that had the names of Israel engraved on them. And he had the turban wrapped around his head with a gold plate across the top of it that said, "Holy to the Lord." I mean, did Moses have a pep talk with Aaron before he consecrated him, saying, "I know that you misled the people in false worship, but now you are going to lead the people and teach the people true worship"? Did Aaron flinch when Moses took blood from the bowl and sprinkled it on Aaron and sprinkled it on his new, very expensive garments that he is wearing? Take that scene, read our text, and know that the writer of the Hebrews is saying to you, that's you. Aaron didn't lead a perfect life. None of the priests did, and so neither do you and I. Aaron was not worthy of this honor of great high priest. Neither were his sons. Neither were you and I. But Aaron and his sons were set apart as holy to the Lord, sprinkled with blood, sprinkled with cleansing water. You and I are set apart as holy to the Lord, marked and defined by the blood of Christ that has set us apart as consecrated to the Lord. We have never had blood sprinkled on us, but the blood of Christ most definitely defines us. The very separation and distance that the Old Testament priesthood was meant to communicate. This is what's the best part of it. Because you and I are now in charge of this institution of the priesthood, it is meant to communicate exactly the opposite. That you and I and every Christian around the world in this New Testament priesthood, we now, instead of having a communication of distance and separation and transcendence, have unity and closeness and imminence from God to us. It used to be that God drew his people closer to him through the institution of the priesthood. But now he has replaced the priesthood with you, and now he uses you and me to draw the world closer to himself. He has deliberately placed you and me between him and the world. And he has deliberately chosen that we be the method, the means, the people that God uses to draw the world to himself. And to do this, he has given us powerful, powerful tools of law, showing people their sin, and the powerful tool of the gospel, showing people their Savior. He asks us to take these tools, use them, and speak them, and watch as he plants himself inside of someone else through the message we have spoken. God asks you to be his voice, placing inside your mouth his very words. He asks you to be his hands, building up your relationships with the people around you so that you might have an opening to sincerely speak these powerful tools that God uses to change people from unbelievers to believers. The world is your temple. Every furnishing in the temple was consecrated and set apart for service to the Lord, anointed with specially scented oil. And now God has consecrated the whole world as holy to Himself, sprinkled with the blood of Christ. In your ministry and my ministry, it's not as elaborate and complicated as these complex rituals and sacrifices. But the world is our temple, and our service is simple. Tell people about their faithful high priest. Amen.